proposals, we don't feel strongly about them, but we're not convinced that they necessarily need to be in this part of the document, which is supposed to be about reaffirmation. Turning very quickly through some of the other paragraphs, I haven't really had a chance to go through in detail all the 13, the paragraph 13 bis to 6, other than to notice that there's an ODA paragraph which we'd need to look at closely. So can we just reserve our position on all of those? And also, 13.6 looks as though it's fairly duplicative of paragraph 11. I think I'll stop there because we haven't really had a chance to go through everything from there on, and including other than what I said this morning. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Now the representative of the European Union.
Thank you, Co-Chair. You will be happy to hear that I found some more comments because I had misplaced some of my notes. First, I passed over 9 quad, which proposed by the G77, and just to note that here we have serious problem with the language, because to us it does not adequately reflect the balance of the Monterey consensus, so I think we have to look at that very carefully and to how it would work. Now, moving forward to 11 alt, I think that the there is a problem with the lifting of issues in that paragraph, the link that is made in that paragraph between those issues and the principle of common but differentiated responsibility. And I think that we, frankly speaking, don't see much value in this extensive listing. I think we have almost comprehensive listing of any problem in this world, but when you look through it, it's not really adding anything to the text as it is. It only adds problems in the sense that it links such issues to one principle of the Rio Declaration, and I think that we would take issue with the fact whether all of those issues actually are adequately linked to the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities. So I think this will force us to work on the language that we have here quite a lot. Thank you. Sorry. Nothing? Going on to 11 bis. I think this paragraph has a very important message at its end, because it refers to certain issues that are threatening to the territorial integrity and the existence and the viability of as countries. I think, however, that we are willing to work with the text if we are going to turn the whole message around a little bit, putting those issues at the very top. And I think there is a some language in there which is problematic for us. So we'll need to look at that very carefully. On 11.6, proposal by Mexico, I have to say that I cannot see that this language adds anything to the very rich text that we have already above, and I would like to hear from our Mexican colleague what is actually added through the text through this message here. Now, coming forward to paragraph 13, I think that here we do have to look very clearly how we frame the issue of the needs that are for the for cooperation in the international act, and I think we will need to look at specifying those countries that are most in need, and we would perhaps suggest that we make a link with paragraph 15 where we actually look at the interests of most vulnerable countries and then listing a number of such categories which were in particular need. The paragraph 13 bis, we need to reflect further on that one to the extent that it faithfully reflects existing text and existing agreements, and certainly things like the Istanbul Program of Action that seem to be referenced in here. I think we need to look at that carefully. 13 ter, we have to say that again here we are mentioning issues that come out of the findings for the financing for development process, and I think that we would need, if we went into that exercise, list all of those elements and not selectively listing some of those. So I think that again are problems that we have identified. On 13 quad, which I think comes from the Istanbul Plan of Action, I think that we have a problem here because to our understanding, nothing in the Istanbul Plan of Action actually establishes ODA commitments that go beyond any of the ODA commitments that have been established previously. So I think that there is a limited added value of doing that here. The rest of the question is that we're not 100% sure whether 13 quad or earlier on with regard to ODA commitments really reflects the Greek language. Coming on to 13 quint, we're of course very happy to support the call for the adoption of the 10-year framework of sustainable consumption and production. However, again, the issue is the heads of state and government can do something, so actually they should adopt it and not call for adoption. Whom are they calling for the adoption? This is something that needs to be done at the summit. Secondly, we would suggest that we specify a bit further what 10-year framework of program we are actually adopting. We have a text that was almost agreed at the CSD 19, so if we are proposing to do that, we should reference that text correctly. Now, in the discussion we had at CSD 19, it was very clear that the 10-year framework of programs for sustainable consumption and production wasn't actually just for developing countries, but it was actually something that was applicable to all countries worldwide. Now, when you look at the text that the G77 has put forward, one could deduct from that that the 10YFP is exclusively something that is for developing countries, which in our view is not the case. It's something that actually calls for action by a wide range of actors. So I think we would need to work on the language because from our point of view, this is something that applies to all countries in the world, and it's certainly so that there are patterns of unsustainable consumption production in countries in all stages of development. And now I'm being reaffirmed and that this is where we really stopped. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, the representative of Mexico.
Thank you, Chair. This section, our comments will be focused only on a few of the paragraphs and some of the questions, all of the questions that have been asked concerning our proposals. First of all, let me just start very, very quickly by addressing paragraph, the amendments and the addings of paragraph 6. We think the amendment proposed by the G77 that says we affirm that we are guided by the purposes of something that hasn't changed, that we remain guided by the purposes and principles of the Charter, it's extremely valuable. We think that the principles of the Charter themselves, they already affirm and not only affirm, but embody this commitment to transparent, effective, inclusive multilateralism. So perhaps there is no need at this stage to emphasize the principles that are already inside the Charter of the United Nations. We think that the system as was crafted in the Charter and the Charter institutions need to be reaffirmed, and that in a sense entails many other elements of compromise that we as governments continue to be guided by. So we are also favorable with the idea of integrating the framework of human rights. Perhaps it's here, perhaps it's in the previous section, as Norway has proposed. Then, just to reemphasize what we have already said yesterday concerning the Rio principles, we have already joined G77 in their proposal 7-ALT. I think that a call for the reaffirmation of all the principles contained in the Rio Declaration is extremely important, and we stand by that. We think that that is the first element that needs to be mentioned. Concerning paragraph 8 and followings, basically what we have here are different instruments, not only that are somehow relevant, but that are crucial for sustainable development and for a comprehensive agenda of development, as we have been arguing for. So I am sure that in the course of our negotiations, we will figure the way of making reference to all of these extremely important and critical international instruments that have guided us and that present specific commitments on behalf of member states with regards to development. So they have to be stated, and we are flexible, and we see that there are very different proposals. So we are looking forward to engage on this regard. But the most important of these elements, they have to be here, of these outcomes. Some of the doubts that have been expressed on why Mexico proposed a paragraph that was, in a sense, that says, on 11-6, where we acknowledge that international environmental, social, and economic goals have only been partially met and have not succeeded in eradicating poverty and reversing adverse environmental change, as it's stipulated on paragraph 11-6. Just to explain a little bit, because we haven't had at the time a knowledge of the breathtaking contributions that were going to be made. So now this paragraph that in a sense wanted to capture that sustainable development is still a common undertaking, that means an aspiration. It's precisely because we haven't, as universal community, met the objectives that we have set forward in the most important, let's say, goal-oriented outcomes. And in this regard, I just want to point, for example, to paragraph 9b, as presented by the G77, where in their first part, that for us is critical, where they urge all countries to fully implement their commitments under the three conventions, the UNFCCC, the CBD, and the UNCCD. That means the conventions on the most important treaties on atmosphere, on biodiversity, and on land use. If the international community, that means all of us, we the United Nations, would have fulfilled our environmental agreements set on these three important instruments, certainly we wouldn't be at this critical juncture, so the progress that we would be qualifying in terms of sustainable development would be substantive. So we're fine with making, even if it's needed, just to leave us a marker that we would even have to strengthen the language, it's not fully implemented, that we have not implemented our commitments under the three conventions, and that is we haven't achieved the goal, and it's not only the commitment, we haven't achieved the goal present in each and every one of these three major conventions. And that is something that talks to all member states. And that's what Mexico wants to convey, a little bit of, in a sense, self-criticism from the international community that 20 years after Rio, sustainable development is still a common aspiration. And we have goals, and we have that we have agreed upon, but we haven't fully implemented them, as is mentioned here. Let me just go very quickly in this regard.
Mexico, would you be as brief as within a minute? We have several speakers.
I apologize, and I think I was carried away. So
I'm sorry.
Finally, undertaking, substitute by endeavor or aspiration, we are fully flexible. That's our view on 10 alt. On 10 bis, research and analysis, I think it has to be changed by science as proposed by the European Union, but also this differentiation, the issue of inequality has to be included. So most proposals are very valuable. Finally, with regard to paragraph 11, as has been proposed by the co-chairs, I think that it is subject, as the EU has mentioned, maybe we will need your guidance and your help to sort of disentangle all the problems in paragraph 11. I think that there is a lot of work to be done. And finally, this is my very final comments that are 14 ter and 14 quad. I think that we will also need your guidance, your leadership, co-chairs, to find a solution and a way out on these two paragraphs. We think it's a valuable element, and we will require, I think, your guidance in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your cooperation. We have reached a point that we are fighting against time. Now, I have four speakers on my list, and we have something to do at the end of this discussion for the closing ceremony. So I will give the four last speakers 3 minutes each. So please, with my apology and request for your indulgence, please bear with my suggestion. I will start with Japan, Canada, United States, and Argentina. Japan, you have the first floor.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. I'll be very brief. I want to respond to the comment made by the European Union on our proposal on Para 10. The intention of our proposal to insert a sentence at the end of the paragraph 10 is that we see it appropriate and necessary to have a reference to the change of the actors in the international community in the last 20 years in this paragraph. However, as to the suggestion by the European Union to move our proposed language to Section C, engaging major groups, we took note of it, and we would consider where is the best place to locate our proposed language. Thank you.
And Canada?
Yesterday, we did convey, a few comments on a few paragraphs in that section. Today, I will just address one paragraph, which is paragraph 13. We were okay with the original text on paragraph 13. We will provide detailed comments on the new proposed text, but I did want to flag at this point in time that the language in 13 ter and quad already raises concern with our delegation, but we will address fully the concerns in our comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your cooperation. And the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to offer a few very general initial reactions in an effort to be constructive and offer some ideas about where we might be able to move forward. Starting towards the beginning of this section, as already noted, 16 ter is a difficult concept that is probably not very useful to discuss in this particular venue. paragraph 7. As we noted yesterday, the reference to the principles is very important. We just want to ensure that it's characterized correctly and that the role of these principles in our actions is characterized correctly, just to specify again why we made our edits. On paragraph 9, plural, and actually indeed 7, 8, and 9, there are multiple references throughout the text to a lot of different previously agreed items, and I'm starting to see a little bit of duplication, so we have a strong preference to streamline and make a lot of these references more general. Again, if we're trying to speak to people, I don't know that we need to reiterate everything that's already come before in long lists, so if we could maybe make an effort to be very focused with those sorts of references. Paragraph 10 alt 2, given the things everyone has said on that, I see Mexico's proposal as being rather constructive and something that we would look forward to working with. On paragraph 11, we already expressed our concern yesterday concerning the causes for our ongoing challenges and the need to avoid debate on that. And we look with concern at this section, which has expanded rather than been consolidated. So we'd again look to shorten the discussion in this area. On to paragraph 13. We see a large quantity of language that I may or may not have seen before in a number of different venues, some of which is often quite difficult, and we'd look forward to maybe a more constructive approach to some of those concepts. I think I've understood from my colleagues from the G77 in China that their approach to this text has been to try to create a more balanced approach between the three pillars of sustainable development to ensure that all the pillars are adequately represented. And we're certainly very sympathetic to that approach. Indeed, we are fully supportive. However, I think we just differ on the language it would take to get us there, so hopefully we can work on that moving forward. Just to note quickly, paragraphs 14, 15, and 16 have some nice concepts as well as a number of very difficult concepts, and they add a large quantity of additional text. So again, we'd look to try to minimize the difficulties there and hopefully streamline to the extent possible. Particularly paragraphs 14 are difficult, as we noted yesterday. There are some inappropriate mentions there that we don't find relevant to this text, as we have a different view of those issues. Overall, rest assured that we will study all of these proposals very carefully and come back with some robust, concrete, and constructive reactions in our next session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lastly, I'll give the floor to Argentina, not as a speaker, as they say, but as a questioner. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
The question that we're going to make is actually a request for clarification. It is fully in step. It is fully in step with what the president or chairman of the G77 Algeria mentioned with regard to the fact that our group does not believe that there should be parallel processes. We would like to have clarifications then from the Secretariat on one matter in particular. We note with some surprise that there are initiatives aimed at establishing task forces or panels of experts for the Rio process. Obviously, we received this information informally. Informally, we found out, for example, that there would be an SDG task force and a panel of experts, six experts for oceans, for the conference. This information has been merely unofficial. We have not heard this from any source within the Secretariat, so we would like to ask if we might be able to have information on the purpose, mandate, and makeup of these groups, of this task force. Will these groups be open to the participation of the member states? or at least as with observer status. What bodies within the Secretariat will be responsible for leading the work of these groups? And further, are there other initiatives of this type in other areas, in other topics? Obviously, we're asking this question given the importance that our country affords due transparency that should reign in the negotiation process undertaken by the states, and also because of the need to avoid parallel actions, parallel activities that could be contradictory or in which there is not an express mandate from the member states to the Secretariat. So perhaps these clarifications could come today. We would appreciate that. Otherwise, we would be open to these coming, to the clarifications coming at the next meeting that we hold on this topic. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, rather your suggestion, and your suggested question shall be duly taken into consideration. So I have exhausted my speaker for the day, but I have to apologize that I was not able to lead you to the last part, the section D, the subsection D of the second section 2. But, well, I also would like to remind you that we have just begun, and this is the beginning. So we will have, hopefully, ample time in the future. And before we conclude, I'd like to make several points in response to the issues made at the outset, and I have one comments as well. The first, the issue of the co-chair's option text or the compilation text. Well, there is certainly was no consensus on this, but if I'm not incorrect, my understanding is majority of the delegation preferred not to have co-chair's option for the time being. So we will not proceed unilaterally. So I see the most of the delegation preferred the compilation text for the time being. That is my understanding for clarification. And secondly, the March meeting, whether there will be before that there will be any additional informal negotiation in March. There's a clearly distinction between pros and cons, and in this issue as well, many members and groups had some reservation on this issue. So I'm not going to push this kind of the additional informal in March as well, if I'm not misunderstood. And the last point I would like to make is the general point, not in the form of concrete language in the revised text. Whether it will be converted into the concrete language or not, I prefer that. So if the delegations concerned agrees that then general comments shall be all deleted, and I ask those who submitted in the forms of general comments to replace it with concrete language. That's a brief point that I'd like to make for the way forward. And lastly, let me briefly touch upon how we shall proceed in the March meeting. I would suggest that after we have completed the first and second reading of the entire the first reading of the entire text in March, we can go back to section 1 and 2 as well. And if you feel it would be useful for the co-chairs to propose some options to bring together the various proposals already made, then I would be pleased, along with my co-chair, Ambassador Ash, to do to conduct the business in that way. There are proposals for additional text for the deletion of the text and alternative paragraphs to the co-chair's zero draft. Many have said that the framework for action in Section 2, which we did not have time to deal, should be consolidated in other parts of the text. I take that in mind. I personally think it would be useful for us to make this additional effort to utilize the time between now and March. But, well, it's all yours, and the members are on the driver's seat, so I'm in your hands. Any short comments about my comments or my clarification? I see no objection. So at this time, I now invite the Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, Mr. Xia Jiugang, to make closing remarks.
The commands of this armed group.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Excellent, ladies and gentlemen, we are now well on the way towards Rio Plus 20. It is really encouraging that zero draft tabled by our two co-chairs is viewed as a starting point for negotiations. And indeed, now you have begun to negotiate. I really admire your dynamism, energy. I tried to think if I were you, whether I could do the job, you know.
Yes.
You are doing so well. I'm getting older, perhaps. We will need to keep up a brisk pace if we are to complete this work in a timely manner. We must make every effort to conclude negotiations by the third PRACON meeting. We must present to the world leaders and indeed to the world people an outcome that will make the difference in our shared understanding to achieve a sustainable future, a future we all want. We cannot afford to run out of time and fail to reach agreement on the big decisions, the ones which will define Rio Plus 20. So we need to be very efficient and focused. One of the things I heard during the past 3 days is that the zero draft lacks ambition. Another is that it needs to be more action-oriented. Now, it is in the hands of your governments. You must make this the ambitions and action-oriented document that we all want. I'm not kicking the ball because that's really your job. You are doing well. So, what is short list of must-haves for Rio Plus 20? What decisions will make a real difference to implementation, integration, and coherence? If I were to interpret what I heard over the past 3 days, I would flag the following. Sustainable development goals could well be one of the important contributions of Rio Plus 20. At the very least, the conference should define these goals in a clear time frame so that by 2015 we will have one clear set of goals with sustainable development at their core. These goals could help guide a green economy in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication. So they would give clear direction to efforts to build green economies appropriate to national circumstances. Of course, we cannot simply state goals without saying something about how we will get there. So we need to agree on a robust framework for action, including mobilizing mobilization of financing from all sources, technology cooperation and transfer, capacity building, engagement of all stakeholders in implementation, including through innovative partnerships, and putting science, education, innovation in the services of sustainable development. I also heard a strong call for putting in place a stringent institutional framework to advance integration, implementation, and coherence. So at the NeoPulse 20, we must agree definitely on how to do this. We do not yet have consensus, and some have asked for further guidance on the options, in particular, what makes the most sense. Strengthening the CSD, transforming it into a sustainable development council, while enhancing the role of General Assembly and ECOSOC in sustainable development. We, in the second turret, stand ready to do whatever we can to support member states' deliberations on this and other matters. Finally, many of you have emphasized the importance of ensuring accountability. And this is important. We must not go home from Rio and forget our commitments the next day. In addition to the outcome document, a number of you would like to see a compendium or registry of commitments. Who will ensure that there is genuine delivery on these commitments? This will need to be spelled out clearly. What we agreed to in June and in the years ahead is our promise to the world, and we must honor that promise. Dear colleagues, looking ahead, I invite all delegations and major group stakeholders to remain actively engaged, to consult with each other, and to continue your dialogue. I urge all groupings and delegations to submit your amendments to the rest of the Rio draft by the deadline of February the 27th, as just announced by our co-chair. This will help expedite, not announced, but it all seems to be known, huh? Is it not yet?
I've heard that.
Okay, you're going to adjust that. Okay. But already I heard from Floor, because I missed a couple of intervention this morning. I listened to my in office, I missed a couple of the intervention. Okay, anyway. And let me take this opportunity to reassure our participants that the Secretary will do everything we can to provide you with all necessary substantive and technical support. Here I would like to utilize the opportunity to respond to the questions raised by the distinguished representative of Argentina on the issue of so-called task forces. Because I'm not very, because perhaps getting old, I cannot remember how many task forces we have. Let me respond at this point of time. Even in my department, in the Secretariat, I instructed my staff to establish a couple of task forces, one task force, to look into those questions. In case, for example, what should the green economy roadmap look like? What should be the scope of the SDGs, sustainable goals? What should be, you know, the mandate or the bar of the so-called sustainable council? Those are the proposals of member states. When I say I instructed my staff looking to them in the form of a task force, that to make sure that in case member states may ask the questions. We are in the Secretariat, not me, my staff. As the institution, they should have institution memories. In case queries are imposed, asked, for example, as Ambassador Yadui, I take it as a responsibility to respond. What are you doing? You know, so when we are asked, we are supposed to give you the background, the necessary information in the form of as matter of fact kind of manner. But I don't think the Secretariat should provide any so-called recommendations. That's not our business. So this New York Post 20 negotiation is a member state driven exercise. Of course, in consultation with major groups and other stakeholders. That's my understanding. So all stakeholders, including member states, major groups, UN system entities, they are all encouraged to take any initiatives for the preparation of real prosperity. As a matter of fact, we have seen already many countries have done it, and they're very helpful. So I don't think that we should welcome, you know, task forces should not do the job. They are not supposed to do the negotiations, not theirs. But they are encouraged to help and assist the negotiation process. From my understanding, I stand to be corrected. Well, when we began this process, we negotiations and we invoked the spirit of Rio, that is the can-do spirit of 1992. And we said that we would revive that spirit in 2012. Now we must decide on the big decisions our leaders must take in June. Decisions that show the world we mean business, but not business as usual. Decisions that make a difference to the lives and well-being of all people, particularly the poor and most vulnerable. Decisions that protect vital ecosystems for the well-being of both present and future generations. The moment of truth has arrived. And as a few of you said in your intervention, we also need to see the forest before we get immersed in the trees. Of course, sometimes we must negotiate the trees as well, including food stop and karma. But you have to calculate the cost, whether the cost will overweight the action or whatever it is, the quotation you use. I don't think we should waste too much time on those small things, but sometimes maybe unavoidable. But only then can we set our priorities right and ensure that we lay the groundwork for our leaders to deliver on the big decisions needed in Rio. Only then will we be able to craft an outcome document that makes Rio Plus 20 the conference we want and need to build the future we want. And I know we will rise to the occasion. Thank you. If I have antagonized you in my interventions, please inform me later. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary General. You never disappoint your friends in living up to your name. Excellencies, including Ambassador Abdelaziz from Egypt, Mr. Conference Secretary General, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the first meeting on the informal consultations on the zero draft of the outcome document. We completed the second reading of the first two sections of the zero draft. Well, almost to be precise. Meetings during the past day and a half have helped us in understanding the rationale behind amendments proposed to the text by different political groups and delegations. I believe we have made some reasonable good progress at the outset. Indeed, all stakeholders share their frank views. These comments clearly signal the need to raise our levels of ambition in terms of what should be achieved at Rio Plus 20 conference. On behalf of the Bureau of the Preparatory Process and my fellow co-chair, Ambassador John Ash, I'm pleased with the initial progress made so far. including the positive spirit demonstrated during the negotiations. This has been especially true in understanding each other's position. I urge you to sustain this spirit throughout the whole process of the negotiation. Ladies and gentlemen, we should remind ourselves of the two strong messages that have come out of this meeting. One, our vision is clear about the future we want, and for this, we need a more action-oriented and more ambitious outcome to address the challenges we face. And two, we all feel a greater sense of urgency to work together towards a common goal of wiping out poverty from our world and securing the health of our planet. An ambitious document will require equally ambitious negotiations. With the necessary flexibility and perseverance to reach an agreement capturing the future we want. The next round of informal negotiations will take place from 19th to 23rd of March. In preparations for that session, we will seek your comments and proposals on sections 3, 4, and 5 of the Zero Draft by 29th, not 27th, of February 2012. Your inputs and contributions will be transformed into a compilation text, exactly in the manner we did for the first two sections of the document during this meeting. I would like to reassure you that all negotiation will continue to be conducted in a transparent and inclusive manner to ensure everyone's comfort. There will be no surprises unless mandated. It is clear you laugh at me. It is clear to us that piecemeal negotiations will not suffice. We have to have a holistic picture in front of us and recall that nothing is agreed upon until everything is agreed upon. Therefore, our intent is to ensure that when we meet in March, we have the benefit of having the entire pictures. That is when the real work will begin. In preparation for the March meeting, I encourage you to remain engaged in as much informal contact with each other as possible. This includes reaching out to groups and parties of different views. We must maintain and continue to nurture a spirit of cooperation and collaboration. Ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to seeing you all in March, and safe returns and bon voyage to those traveling back to their capital. I give you my big hand. This meeting is adjourned.